Good evening. Thank you for joining. I see everyone. Yom Rishlaim Sameach. Upcoming Yom Mother's Day Sameach. That's sort of passing. I hope everyone enjoy their day. So it's nice to be with everyone today. But I'm going to be honest that I really prefer a bit of a different scenario. You know, I would like it if we were all sort of gathered together on Shavuot night in a week or so from now, and let's say 11, 12 o'clock at night with a nice cup of coffee in hand, maybe a few Shavuot treats. I, you know, it's my second year here in in Toronto, and I'm yet to experience a full Shari Shamayim Shavuot experience, but the rumor has it that Shari Shamayim has a very extensive Tikkun Leil Shavuot, both in terms of the Shirim and in terms of the delights that are available. And I love that. That is how I prefer to have my Shavuot night experience. I happen to love that feeling. It's a 2 o'clock in the morning when you're, you know, sort of falling asleep. You take a nice cup of coffee and some cake or whatever it is that's available. There's just something to it. There's something to using caffeine and sugar to keep yourself awake at the wee hours of the morning. And even though it's sort of illogical, but we do it. Many do it once a year. And the truth is, I'll argue with you, and I'll put my link to the source sheet in the chat for those. Hopefully you can access that. Let me know if you can't. It's not just that, you know, it's yummy. Not just that it's enjoyable, but it's actually, I would argue, very much a part of the day. Look here in source number one, Gemara in Sofim, 68b. Gemara here has a mitzvah machloket about the way to spend a holiday, the way to spend Yom Tov. Very well known machlokas. One opinion is that what you're supposed to do is make a choice. Beginning of Yom Tov, you got to sit down and decide, how are you going to spend the day? You're either going to spend the day learning all day, just spend the day service to God, or you can eat all day, but it's up to you. But you have to choose. That's and then the other opinion is no, you can split your time. Take a look at source number one. The Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, a person on the holiday can either eat and drink or sit and learn. Either or. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Chalkeu. No, you should split your time. You can divide the day. Half a day is for eating and drinking, half a day for the study hall. That's on a normal holiday. And then, I hope everyone can access the source materials. And then we have Rabbi Yochanan. And Rabbi Yochanan comes and says, and Rabbi Yochanan says that they're both trying to learn the following pasuk. One verse in the Torah says it's an assembly for Hashem, your God. The other, you have another verse that says that Yom Tov is for you. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, O Kul Hashem, O Kul Lachem. Rabbi Eliezer thinks that on the holiday, it's either all for you or all for God. You have a choice. You can choose. You know, you have a sort of democratic. You can choose which verse you're going to follow. It's either Lashem Lokecha or it's Lachem. Up to you. Rabbi Yoshua Savar Chalkei, O Chatzil Hashem, Chatzil Lachem. Rabbi Yoshua holds no. In fact, each holiday, we try to fulfill each of these mandates, and you split it half for you, half for God. And then finally, we have Rebbe Eliezer. I'm Rebbe Eliezer. Hakol modim ba'atzeret deba'inon nami lachem. Rebbe Eliezer says, everybody agrees, even the opinion, even his own opinion there, of Rebbe Eliezer, who says that you could choose, but on Shavuot, everybody agrees we require lachem. You have to enjoy yourself. You have to have some nice meat, a nice seuda, some wine. Everybody agrees that you have to spend part of the day on Shavuot eating. Why? Yom shenitna bo Torah. It's the day that God gave us the Torah. Now we'll get back to why that's an interesting explanation as to why you need to eat. You need to eat on Shavuot. Why? Because it's the day Hashem gave you the Torah. But be that as it may, there's a basis for enjoying yourself on Shavuot, for all the Shavuot treats and for the coffee and the cake and whatever else is available at night on Shavuot. It's part of the tradition. We're supposed to enjoy ourselves on Shavuot. even within the context of our Torah learning. And this year, unfortunately, we don't have that, right? We don't have that as we normally may. Here we are in our homes on a week before Shavuot. We have a whole wonderful program of Tikkun, a pre-Shavuot, Tikkun Lel Shavuot, a week of learning. But it's not on Shavuot night. And it's not, you know, everyone's welcome to take out the delicacies they want. I'm not, please, you know, if you're hungry, go for it. I won't judge. But we don't have that same environment, that atmosphere. And so I actually want to take this opportunity to sort of study whether that's the appropriate atmosphere for learning. Is learning appropriate when done in the context of eating and drinking and enjoying ourselves? Or is that not the appropriate way to learn Torah? And if so, why? And what I'd like to show is that, indeed, at first glance, you look at the sources, it's exactly the opposite of what you would think is appropriate for learning Torah. But we do it on Shavuot anyway. And I'd like to consider why in a normal Shavuot year we do what we do and how we might maybe this year appreciate it a bit differently. So in that vein, let's look at a Mishnah on Pirkei Avot. It's a pretty well-known Mishnah, but it's a pretty intense one at that. This is in Pirkei Avot, Perek Vav, Mishnah Dalet, 6-4 in Mishnah Avot. And the Mishnah here is talking about the appropriate sort of perspective. If a person wants to learn Torah, that is what we do on Shavuot. A person wants to really engage in Talmud Torah, what's the way to do it? And it's not necessarily the most exciting proposition as the Mishnah recommends it. Mishnah says, Kach hi darka shel Torah. This is the way of Torah. Papa melach tochal. Eat your bread with salt. This is in source 2. Umayim b'msura tishte. Rationed water shall you drink. Don't drink too much water. V'ala aretz tishan. You have to sleep on the ground. Hayit sa'ar tichya. To live a life of pain. Here the translation says privation. You have to sort of limit yourself. Part of that is because to say a life of pain is a bit too intense for the feeble-hearted. You know, you don't want people looking at this mission saying, a life of pain. But sa'ar means pain on a simple level. To live a life of pain. Hayatzar techa. Vatora atamel. And in toil in Torah. Imata osek king. Ashrecha vitovlach. If you do that, then ashrecha vitovlach. You shall be happy and it will be good for you. And here's maybe the most chutzpahdik end to this Mishnah. It's just audacious. Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh v'tov lach olam haba. Now I'm just going to put the link to the source sheet again in the chat. Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh, happy shall you be in this world. V'tov lach olam haba, and it shall be good for you in the world to come. So I have two simple questions here. Two simple questions. First of all, isn't this Mishnah demanding a bit much? Like, who's going to read this Mishnah and say, you know what? I want to learn Torah the way this Mishnah describes, right? This sounds great. A life of pain. Chayet Sar Techia, sign me up. Isn't it a bit much to demand this type of lifestyle from someone who simply wants to learn Torah? You know, what's wrong with enjoying my life, you know, and I can sleep on a bed and I can have my bread with not just salt, but maybe a few toppings and some deli to boot. Why not? And I can drink as much water as I want, and after I'm done, I'll go and learn, and I'll go to my shiurim, and I'll learn Torah, and I'll learn my... Why the privation, as described in this Mishnah? Why the tsar? Why the pain? And how do we reconcile that? We just learned the Mishnah, the Gemara says, on Shavuot, you have to make sure to enjoy yourself. But ina nami lachem, why? Yom shenitne bo Torah. Today Hashem gave the Torah. Well, hello, you just told me that when you learn Torah, it's supposed to be a chayet sa'ar, a life of pain. So then why does that make any sense with what we do on Shavuot in a normal year? But then the ending. And if you do this, ashrecha ba'olam hazeh v'tov lach l'olam haba. You'll be happy in this world and you'll enjoy the next world also. It'll be good for you in the next world. Hold on. I understand. If you wanted to tell me, you know, think back, picture the rabbi in a typical yeshiva setting who gets up there and says, everybody, this world is just temporary. It's ephemeral. It doesn't matter. Your money doesn't matter. All it doesn't matter. And the rabbi says, it gets up there and says, just learn Torah. Fine. At least he's being honest. He's telling me I'm sacrificing in this world to enjoy the next world. Okay, that's a message to give. You could disagree with it or agree with it, but at least it's honest. Here the Mishnah tells me, not only do I have to live a life of tsar, a life of pain, but it's going to be good for me in this world. How will that be good for me in this world? Where's the goodness in this world in a life of tsar, in a pot by melach tocha, my bread with simply salt? How could that possibly be enjoyable? How can we say, ashrecha bo'olam hazeh? It's going to be happy for you in this world. So these are some of the questions I want to explore in the few minutes we have here. And hopefully it will give us a perspective on a regular Shavuot, the way we celebrate it, and generally what it takes to live a life of Torah. Any thoughts before we go on? What could it possibly mean that by living a chayit sa'ar, a life of pain, that the Mishnah says, ashrecha ba'olam hazeh? And why is that necessary to learn Torah? What's wrong with, you know, learning Torah after all, just a normal, happy, enjoyable life when one partakes of the physical pleasures of this world? What could be so bad? What do we think? Why a chayit sa'ar? Why a life of pain?
You're sacrificing.
Why? Okay, good. So you're sacrificing. Why must I sacrifice, though? Why can't I have the best of both worlds? Why can't we do chetzel Hashem and chetzel Hashem the whole year? I like that menu. It sounds like a good menu. Split the day between nice yummy food and Torah learning. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. Sacrificing. The notion of sacrifice. I think it's an important one. I think we'll build on that. The truth is, it's not, as this Mishnah goes, it's a challenging Mishnah, but there's an even more radical formulation of this idea of sacrifice, as Charlie says, in order to learn Torah. Take a look at source number 3. The Gemara here in Shabbat, Pei Gimel Amud Bet 83b, is commenting on a pasuk that in Parsha Chukat. And the Torah says there, Zot HaTorah Adam Ki Yamut Be'ohel. This is the Torah, when a person dies in the tent. And then it goes on to describe the laws of Tumat Meat, the impurity associated with contact with a dead body. And the Gemara has a very striking, radical teaching based on this pasuk. The Gemara says as follows. First, Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan said, "La'olam al yina adam et atzmon b'mira bedrash medivrei Torah va'afilu b'sha'at mita." A person shouldn't withhold themselves from the study hall or from words of Torah, even at the time of death, very last moments. Shene'emar, "Zot haTorah adam ki yamut be'ohel." This is the Torah when a person dies in the tent. Afilu b'sha'at mita tehei osek ba'Torah. Even at the time of death, a person should engage in Torah study. Even at the time, the very last moments, it's still a good time to learn Torah. That's Rabbi Yonatan. Rish Lakish, one up for Rabbi Yonatan. That's not enough. Amar Rish Lakish, it's not just the last moment of your life. Ein divrei Torah mitzkaimin el b'misha mimit atzmo aleha. The words of Torah will only sustain themselves within a person who, as the Gemara says it, kills themselves over those words. There's something almost, I mean, obviously not literally, but almost suicidal. And again, obviously it's a hyperbole, but you have to give everything for learning Torah. It takes a physical toll on you. That's the way it has to be. It won't work otherwise. As it says, Zot HaTorah Adam Ki Yamut Be'ohel. And again, this is really just too much, right? To kill it. Like, what could that possibly mean for a person to be mimit atzmo, to bring oneself to a point of death? Because of Torah learning. Don't we want, we say, Derechah Darchei Noam B'chol Netivotah Shalom, the ways of Torah are pleasant. and all their words are of peace. Where's the pleasantness in this? Why would the Gemara say something like that? So let's try to explore a bit. Now, what I think we'll show, as we see, is that the truth is that ultimately, if a person really dedicates themselves fully to Talmud Torah, it's only then, if you can really put in effort and time and concentration and focus, it's only then that you really can achieve the pleasantness, the noah, the beauty, the ashrecha ba'olam hazeh that Torah has to offer. But why is that so? So I think one approach that sort of puts into question here and look at the Mefarshim is that what Charlie said before, the notion of sacrifice. We have one perspective that I think you'll see is a bit of a debate here, which is the question of body versus soul. I think it's an important question every religious person needs to ask themselves. We have a body and we have a soul. We have sort of physical and spiritual pursuits. And one question to ask is, do those work in tandem, or are they diametrically opposed to each other? That to the degree that I'm invested in my body, to the degree that I look at life as a way of fulfilling solely the needs of my body, then to that degree, I won't be in touch with my soul. So I think this sort of question is sort of a matter of dispute between the two Mefarshim we have in 4 and 5. If you look at Rashi in source number 4, he wants not to get so scared. He says, okay, it's a very intense Mishnah, but don't worry. It's not as bad as you think. Not as bad as you think. Everybody can still enjoy themselves. How so? Says Rashi. When it says, eat your bread with salt, lo ala ashir hu omer, shayama b'chay tzar k'delo motora. Mishnah doesn't mean that if a person has means and has the ability to enjoy their life, that you should specifically avoid doing so to learn Torah. That's not what the Mishnah means. We're not looking for extraneous sort of limitation here. No. This is what it means to say. Even if a person only has bread and salt, and they only have a pillow and blanket to sleep on, even if you're really, really limited, if you're living a tough life already, because that's unfortunately the situation you find yourself in. Even if you find yourself struggling to get by, even in such a case, the Mishnah says you have to make time to learn Torah, and it promises you, sofo lilmod me'osher. Hashem's going to help. Ultimately, if you can do that, you'll be able to live a life of pleasures, a life of osher, of wealth. So the point that Rashi is saying is that it's not that these are diametrically opposed per se. You don't need to sacrifice the things that you'd like to enjoy to learn Torah, but rather it's saying even in a situation in which you don't have those luxuries, where you're sort of suffering, where you're stuck, and you could say, you know, I don't have time. I can barely get by. Mishnah says, no, even then make the time and hopefully, please God, things will work out. That's the perspective Rashi says on this Mishnah. Now, I don't find this perspective too satisfying because it doesn't seem to be what the Mishnah really speaks to. Mishnah's saying, chayei tzar tichye, right? It doesn't sound like, you know, in the situation in which you're already living a chayei tzar, that means that if you're already having the tzar, you should go about still learning. It sounds like it's more fundamental. And therefore, if you look in source number 5, the Maharar, Rabbi Yehuda Lo, on Perkei Avot, rejects Rashi's opinion here and says, no, indeed, the Mishnah means specifically that you have to accept this sort of lifestyle upon yourself. And he alludes to the sacrifice that sort of Charlie alluded to before. And he writes as follows. Perish of Rezek, ya Torah hi sichlit. Torah is spiritual or purely intellectual. Ba'adam ba'aguf chomrin. And a person has a material body. Ve'ein safik, ya secha va'aguf hafachim miknadim ze et ze. The body and the soul are diametrically opposed to each other. The Torah will not be sustained in a physical, material body. It won't work. Since the body and the soul are opposites, and the Torah is a spiritual reality. The Torah isn't simply, says the Maharal, a book of do's and don'ts, things you don't do or don't do. The Torah is a way of achieving spirituality, of connecting to God, of sort of transcending the physical material world around us. It's chachma elokit. It's divine godly wisdom that's beyond the physical body. You have to, and again, it doesn't mean literally, but the Maharal says that's the meaning of this Gemara, this passage in the Talmud, that a person has to be mimit atzmo la-Torah, to kill oneself over Torah. It means you have to rid the impediment of the body. You have to live such that your physicality doesn't impede your striving and yearning for the spirituality of a true Torah lifestyle. That the Maharal argues here, we have to acknowledge that, you know, we're physical beings and we like a good bite of steak and we like the good stuff. We like to enjoy ourselves and physically indulge ourselves. And that's well and good, but the Torah is not in that way of living and perceiving things. The Torah is beyond all of that. The Torah is asking us to strive for higher. It's not natural. You have to strive for something beyond the natural. That's what the Maharal is suggesting here. So you have to sort of remove the physical impediment of the body in order to truly live a life of Torah.
So Rabbi, that's what the Maharal is saying here. Rabbi?
Yeah.
So taking out a chumash for the sake of learning, like possibly taking out a Shakespearean play for the possibility of learning, that can't be done with the Torah.
What meaning you're saying, why intellectual pursuit considered simply...
What I'm trying to say is, does it always have to be spiritual to study Torah?
Well, I think what the Maharal would say is that studying Torah is by definition spiritual, meaning when seen in the appropriate way, when you learn a pasuk of Chumash, that is a spiritual endeavor, even though it seems to us sometimes like, look, it's just a story or it's details about the way that the Beit HaMikdash or the Mishkan was constructed. But if you understood it appropriately, it's Hashem expressing very important ideas and themes to you such that that is a spiritual experience in and of itself. And to truly see that, you can't see things in through the lens and the prism of the body. And that's what he's arguing.
But that's when you study it very deeply, right? So
right.
It's like that person going to Hillel and asking him to teach him on one foot.
Right. So I think, Charlie, you're making a great point, which is that when the Mishnah says, it's true. You could not sort of adopt this perspective, and you could still open a chumash and understand the whatever pasuk you're looking at, or you could listen to a shiur, as we often do while you're sort of relaxing and enjoying yourself. You know, in Zoom these days, it's a very nice opportunity where you could sort of turn your screen off. And I really don't mean to say this in any way, though it's rather screen off right now. It's great. But, you know, but you could sort of relax and you could sort of pay attention, sort of not. You'll get something out of that. That's true. For sure, that's true. And that's what you're pointing out. I think what the Maharal is saying, that when it says, Ein HaDivrei Torah Mikayemet, When for Torah to have the full spiritual impact upon a person that Hashem intended it to have, to really impact you in a way that brings you to another level, it requires this sort of focus and almost singular focus. This is what I want from my life. That when you wake up in the morning, you're not thinking, your first thought is, how am I going to advance spiritually today? How am I going to connect to God? That's your thought. But you're making a good point, which is that even if a person, and I think Maharal would certainly agree with this, we say mitosh shalom lishma balishma, even if you please God, will be able to get back to these sort of gatherings where you can go talk to people who you haven't seen in a while, and there's just sort of a social milieu that you can enjoy, and maybe there's some food, then you also listen to a shir, that's great, that's wonderful, but the Maharal saying, if that's all you can do, and you're not getting the full impact that different Torah support are intended to have, right? But I think there are gradations to it. There are certainly levels, and that's an important point that you're making.
Well, does anybody take opposition to what he says?
So first of all, Rashi, I think, does. First of all, as you pointed out, Rashi says it doesn't mean you're supposed to seek a life of tsar, a pain. It's if you have to live that life already without the Torah, because that's just the way your life goes. If you only can afford bread with salt and limited amounts of water, and you have to sleep on the floor because you can't afford a bed, the Mishnah is telling you to learn even in that context. But we'll see other approaches as we go along. This is just one approach to, I think, this notion of the way to learn Torah. I think it's a bit extreme. And we'll have to explain how the Maharal sees Shavuot in this light, but I don't think it's the only approach. But this is the first approach, sort of seeing the Torah as this spiritual reality that you need to sort of escape the world of materialism and physicality to truly appreciate. But there is another approach. I just saw this mentioned in Tachlum. It's a bit long, so maybe we won't read the whole thing, but I just found it so inspiring. And the Mishnah Tachlum sort of limits this to specifically the oral Torah, the Torah Sheba'al Peh. The not what's explicitly written in the Torah, but the details and the Mishnah and the Gemara, the back and forth, that's what this means. And the general vein theme here is something I think which is important. And as someone who learns to teach Gemara often, I'll be the first to acknowledge it's not easy. And especially for those of us who unfortunately didn't always have the opportunity to have the full background in Talmud Torah and learning Torah Sheba'al Peh, learning the oral tradition. It's very challenging. It's a lot of effort that's necessary. There's a big learning curve. There's a new language. There's a back and forth. There's questions. There's answers. There's proofs. There's rejections. There's tangents. And it's difficult, right? It's difficult. And sometimes we open these new texts and we say, like, why? Like, why should I bother with this? It's hard. I don't have too much time in my day. I'm often sort of worn out. I have a bit of time to learn. Let me take something easier. Let me take something that's digestible. That's, or I can go to a shiur where somebody else has already taken the time to prepare everything for me. And the Midrash here is saying that it's not that you have to deprive yourself. It's that Torah is not easy. It's that if you want to appreciate Torah Sheba'al Peh specifically, because it is hard, because as we'll see, it's a world of darkness at first glance, you need to have that passion and focus or else it won't work. But if you can focus and have that passion, then it's incredibly rewarding. Take a look at this midrash in source number 6. Every time coming up, Parsha 3. Uktev lo temtza be'aretz achayim. It says in Iyov, you will not find it in the land of the living. U'malo timatze be'aretz achayim. What will you find? Yichi be'aretz amitim timatze. You find in the land of death? So what does that mean? That you don't find the Torah in the land of the living. El shlo timatze Torah sheba'al peh etzal mi shevakesh oneg ha'olam tava. The kavod u'gdula ba'olamatzeh. I think this is an important point, the way he's phrasing it. And then he gets to the Gemara about Mishnah, Mimid Atzmo Aleh, and our Mishnah. He says, you won't find Torah in someone who wakes up in the morning and seeks these things. What the Medrash is telling you is that when you wake up, or say next year, God willing, on Shavuot, right? And Mirtz Hashem will have a wonderful Tikkun Liel Shavuot with all the delicacies and the meat and the cake and all that stuff. When you go there, what's on your mind? That's the question. Are you thinking, wow, this is going to be a wonderful learning, growth-oriented, enjoyable religious experience, and I'll also, you know, have a good time while I'm at it? Or are you thinking, sorry, Shemayim Baruch Hashem, the best Tikkun Liel Shavuot, we have the best offerings of all the good stuff. What's on your mind? What are you seeking? That's the question. And the Medrash is saying, if you are passionate about material experiences and physical pursuits and honor and greatness, then yes, that if that's your passion, then it will be incredibly difficult and it won't work to imbibe the Torah. That's your being mevakesh. And then he quotes our Mishnah. And he says, "Bekachi darka shel Torah, pap mel tocha." And he quotes Maman Mesirat Tishah, bread with salt and limited water, and on and on. And he explains, "If yishalo karat hakadosh baruch hu Yisrael el al Torah shebaal peh." Hashem forged the covenant, the unique connection we have with him over the oral Torah. Shenemar al piyad varim eli karati et chabrit. Frank the Pasuk in Tisisa, Hashem says, I am forging this covenant with al pi, based on the Torah sheba al pet, the oral Torah, the tradition. V'omru zichron al chazal. Lo katala karash baruch hu b'torah l'man dat varim eile, v'lo bavor varim eile, v'lo beglad varim eile al piyad varim. The Torah doesn't write because of these things, or for the sake of these things, but rather alpi, zui Torah shebaal peh, alpi meaning by mouth. It's the oral Torah that's from one generation to another. She kashel mod, the yesh batsar gadol, shehi mesula lachoshech. Right? That to learn the oral Torah is painful. It's compared to darkness. That's the experience of delving into depths of Talmud Torah, is one of delving into the night, the dark night, and you're trying to understand it and it's hard, and you don't get it the first few times. That's the experience of Talmud Torah. Shenemar, Aham Holchem Bachoshev Ra'u Or Gadol, and the Gemara says, Elu Balei HaTalmud Sh'ra'u Or Gadol, Sh'akadosh Baruch Hu Meri Ne'em Bitzer V'Hetzer B'Tam V'Tahar, V'Alas Elavav O'av I Could Say Sh'Hashem Espirato, that the Torah scholars here who delve through our tradition, who are involved in the very specific details and the ins and outs of getting to the details of halacha, are sort of compared to explorers who are looking through a difficult, dark, dangerous terrain, and ultimately they emerge victorious. That's the image of someone who learns Torah Shabbal Peh. The lo kiblu et Yisrael, the Torah shekaplei on kash bar far gigit, famous midrash. Torah says, Chazal say, when we came to Har Sinai, that what happens? Hashem takes the mountain of Sinai, right? And he holds it over the Jewish people's heads. And he says, either accept the Torah, or this there will be your burial place. Now many mefarshim ask on this midrash, wait, don't we read in the Torah that Hashem offers B'nai Yisrael the Torah, and what do we say? We say, Na'aseh v'nishma. We're excited. We're so excited that we say we're committed to doing whatever you say before we even know what God says. So why the necessity of taking the Torah and putting it over the Jewish people's heads? To which this midrash suggests, and it's an answer to Tosfot as well, that was the Torah Shebichtav. But the Kfiya Bahar, that sort of intensity, that threat, that necessity for the sacrifice, is for the Torah Shebaal Peh, for the oral Torah, the tradition that continues to evolve from one generation to the other, figuring out how to apply things. For that, we needed Hashem to say, you got to give your all for this. And he continues, contrast the paragraph of Shema, I'll allude to it outside, where the Midrash says, if you look in the first paragraph of Shema, The first paragraph says you have to love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul, and mi'udecha, all your wealth or all your material goods, all your money. That's the first paragraph of Shema. And the second paragraph, Hayim Shemoa, we drop b'chol mi'udecha. There's no b'chol mi'udecha. It says b'chol, b'chol, b'chol nafshecha. Why? There's no demand for loving God even with your material wealth. The reason for that is because the love of God is best expressed with his commitment to the living tradition, the oral Torah. And if you want to be able to fully understand and to embrace the oral Torah and to get everything our tradition has to offer, it requires me'udecha. It's going to require some sort of sacrifice. It's time consuming. And it requires your love. So the point is, based on this midrash, in terms of our, it's not necessarily even pointing to this opposition fundamentally between the body and soul. That's not the point, although that might be an important point, but that's not the point here. The point here is that Torah learning is hard. It's hard work. You have to work hard. You have to exert effort. You have to really try to understand questions and answers. Maybe we'll have a language barrier sometimes, or a syntax, or even an interest barrier. You know, I'll be honest with you. You try, ask anyone who's done Daf Yomi. Sometimes it's not the most exciting topic in the world. Gemara talks about everything, every last topic, but from the most specific, mundane, picayune details. And it's like, oh, more, like, I don't even, and to get it, you have to be passionately committed. That's what the Mishnah is describing. But based on that, I think we can come to understand the end of the Mishnah as well, the Ashrecha Ba'olam Hazeh, because, and as the Mishnah has elsewhere, the Fum Tsar Agor, as others have said, everything worth having is worth working for, or rather, everything, only if it's not worth working for, it's not worth having. The things that we exert effort into, that we really spend time trying to understand, those are the things that we really value. And that the Ashrecha Ba'olam Hazeh, the happiness in this world, comes because when a person's passionate about pursuing more than simply waking up and the Tava and the Gedula and the Kavod, that's incredibly meaningful. That means that if I am willing to, we'll use the word sacrifice, exert effort to understand this, it's because I'm passionate about it. It's because I love it. And it's worth it. And that's what I think you see from the Rambam here in source number 7. And he has an interesting way of taking the end here. And what you think you see here is a very carefully calibrated balance. The Rambam writes as follows in Mishnah Torah. We're looking to finish the first three books of Mishnah Torah here as a shul, which is a nice project. And one of those books is the Laws of Torah Study, the Laws of Talmud Torah. And the Rambam in the third chapter describes the greatness and importance of learning Torah. And here he writes as follows: Misha nasa'o libo l'kayim mitzvah zu kara'oi, b'lo'yot muhtar b'keter Torah. A person whose heart elevates him, who's inspired to properly fulfill this mitzvah and to be crowned with the crown of Torah. Lo yasiyat var daitol advarim acherim. Should not let their minds wander to other things. But lo yasim al libo sheyikne Torah im ha'osher v'hakavod ke'acha. They shouldn't say, and I think we do see this sometimes. There is a tendency to say this, where we say, I want to enjoy, like, what am I passionate about? I'm passionate about everything. I want to enjoy my life a lot. I want to have all the good things life has to offer, and I'm passionate about pursuing those, and I'm also passionate about religion. I'm also passionate about mitzvot. I'm also passionate about Talmud Torah. Now, that seems at first glance perfectly, you know, legitimate. The Rambam's telling you, and I had a Rebbe in Yeshiva that said this, it's hard to be passionate about many things. Passion is best expressed on one big goal. If you want Keter Shel Torah, if you want the crown of Torah, then you could be passionate about that. And everything else is in that context. Now, I don't think he's saying you can't enjoy your life. What he's saying is the enjoyment of life needs to be in the context of pursuing something much greater. And I would argue even, if I may, that, that's, I think, one of the challenges of our community, that we as a community embrace the complexity of life. And we try to take from everything. We try to take from secular culture and try to understand God's world and all the best as Reish Rafloff, and the best of everything as Reish Rafloff references. And we try to have enjoyable lives and live bekavod and live honorable lives. We're not asking people for handouts. And the drama is going to get to, by the way. The drama is not asking you to look for handouts. I promise you. But when you have that sort of, you know, variety of pursuits, it's hard to be passionate. Because if you're pursuing so many things at once, you lose track of what is really, bottom line, important to me. And what the Rambam is saying here is if you want Keter Shel Torah, the crown of Torah, the answer has to be what's important to me is being the best Oved Hashem I can be, being the best servant of God. That is the goal. And everything else fits into that picture. So don't think I'm going to do it. It's Torah and Osher, Torah and Kavod, wealth, honor. No. Kachi Darka Shel Torah, Papa Melatocha, Maim B'Mesura Tishta, Va'aretz Tisha, Mechayetz Artefke. Again, the Mishnah. It's the bread with the salt and the limited water and sleeping on the ground. Below all that, but then he adds, Below all that, Devar Ligmor, Below all that, Ben Chaliv Atamen. You're not going to finish everything. But you also can't simply say, well, it's so much, you know. I can't do all of it, you know. If I can't finish it anyway, if I can't learn every single se'if of Shulchan Aruch, or I can't, let's say, even be mekayem, there are certain things that are beyond me, so forget it. I can't do it, so I'll do what I can. No, you have to try your best, says the Rambam. If you have abundant Torah learning, you will get the reward, and the reward's commensurate with the pain. I don't think he means you should try to pain yourself, but it's commensurate with the amount you put into it, with that strain, with that effort. But how does the Rambam learn the end of this Mishnah? Believe it or not, the Ashrecho Bo Mazev Tovach Lo Maba relates to something totally different, at least as the Rambam sees it. Mala Gedola Hidlamisha Mitparnis Ma'amase Yada. Because the Rambam here famously, and this is dwelt upon, says this doesn't mean you have the right to not earn a living. The Rambam was very adamant about the fact that you shouldn't be paid for your learning of Torah, that you need to find another way to sustain yourself. The same Rambam who told us how important learning Torah is says, but you need to find a way to sustain yourself. And that's Midah Chasidim HaRishonim, that if a person can support themselves, that is the attribute of the pious men of yore. Referring again to the end of our Mishnah, because how does one enjoy this world and the next world? It's with an appropriately calibrated, balanced life. But if you wake up and your passion is for what really matters, for the things are not just material that we enjoy and go by the wayside just moments later, but it's for Torah and mitzvot and serving God and being the best person that you could be, then, and you also take care of yourself, that's Ashrecha ba'olam hazeh v'tov lach olam haba. That's an enjoyable life in this world and in the next world. So the Mishnah here is indicating that it's true. Learning Torah is not always going to be fun and easy the same way, say, going on a roller coaster or enjoying a nice piece of cheesecake is. It's a different experience. You know, you need to put a lot of effort into that. Maybe sometimes you need to put effort into eating some cheesecake too, depending on the cheesecake. But that's not the type of effort we're talking. It requires a lot from you. But the reward, the feeling afterward that you gain of meaning, of fulfillment, is well worth it, the Rama promises to us. And this is going to bring us back to Shavuot. As we ask, so the question now is, if this is so, than Y on a normal year. Again, this year might be different. Maybe this year on Shavuot, we focus on this perspective of Talmud Torah, on the experience of this Mishnah, of the Chaye, Sa'ar Techye, of the exertion and the effort, when it's maybe not the most comfortable, when it requires a lot from me. But why in a normal year is the Be'ina Nami Lechem? Why does the Gemara say specifically because Shavuot is Yom Shenit Nebo Torah? Specifically because Shavuot is the day the Torah was given to us, then we're supposed to enjoy ourselves. And we're supposed to specifically have a nice feast. Isn't that against everything we just said? The answer is no, because Shavuot is the day where we're ambitious, where we can reap the rewards of having that passionate lifestyle, appropriate balance. And to see this, let's look at Torah number 8 of the Beit Halevi on Yisro, with Yosef Soloveitchik, not the Rav of from Yeshiva University, a blessed memory, but his great-grandfather, writes as follows regarding the Torah. The angels asked that God give them the Torah, famous Midrash. The angels say to God, why are you bothering with these humans? They sin, they're so limited, they're jealous, they get angry. Why are you bothering them? Give us the Torah, say the Malachim, the angels. Moshe Rabbeinu Nitzchem, but Moshe Rabbeinu out up there in Shemayim, fighting for humanity to receive the Torah, defeats them. The Ikar Nitzachon Hayaba Mesha Malachim Einam Yecholim Mekayim Mitzvot Shebaga. Why does Moshe win? It's because he tells Hashem, angels cannot do bodily mitzvah. They can't use their bodies to serve Hashem. Therefore, specifically on Shavuot, we have to enjoy ourselves. We have to enjoy, our bodies have to enjoy themselves. We have to have physical enjoyment, because that was our response to Malachim. Namely, that on Shavuot, if you can get the appropriate balance and have the appropriate focus, so then even when you go and you have the cake and the coffee and all those wonderful things, even that is a way of serving God. Because you've proven that that's not my passion, but it has its appropriate place. That's something the angels can do. They can serve God in that way. They only have L'Hashem. There is no L'Hashem for angels. Beit Halevi says, the angels can do L'Hashem plenty well. They can dedicate their entire existence to God, but they can't enjoy themselves and also dedicate themselves to God. That only humans can do. But differently, we mentioned the Maharal, this direct opposition before between body and soul, and that you have to sort of combat that on in order to really learn Torah. Well, Maharal gives us an exception, and that exception is the Day of Shavuot. Day of Shavuot, why? Says the day of Shavuot is the day that the Elyonim are ponim l'tachtonim, that God and the whole heavenly realm turns and descends toward this world. It's the day of Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, the day that Hashem descended on Mount Sinai, that there is this unity between the worlds. And therefore, and this relates to the special karban that we offer on Shavuot called the Shtei HaLechem, the two loaves of bread, which is sort of an exception. Generally, we don't allow chametz in our karbanot. But on Shavuot, we do allow chametz, leaving bread, as part of the karban. And the Maharal argues, as Chazal say, and I spoke earlier this year, the chametz is seen as this sort of, is representative of the Yetzer Hara, of the part of us that has these physical temptations. And on Shavuot, we incorporate that also in our sacrifice to God, that the Torah, if done appropriately, can sanctify every aspect of our life, even that desire for all those wonderful physical pleasures that we enjoy in this world. That's why it's a karban shlamim. It's a karban shlamim, which means we eat and, as it were, God eats. On Shavuot specifically, because again, it's Kiyom Hazeh, just reading the first line, Him Iker B'Mashi Yevid Hashem Yitbarach Him Kol HaElyonim B'Tachtonim It's a day where Hashem descends with the whole upper realm, with the angels, into this physical, mundane, material world. For one day, we have the advantage as physical, material beings. And we embrace that with the Lachem. And finally, I'll leave you with Ratzaka Kohen Levin, the pre-Sadik here, in his essay here on Shavuot, where he writes that specifically, we enjoy, what are we celebrating? We're celebrating that Judaism, that Torah can be hard. And we embrace that head on. That Torah can be an ol. It's a yoke. We say Kabbalat ol malchut shemayim. We accept the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. That we acknowledge that it can be difficult. That it's hard to learn Torah. It's hard to keep mitzvot. That it can be challenging, and we have to turn off our phones once a week, and there are only certain things that we can eat, and there are certain business opportunities we might have to give up. It requires a lot from us. Now, on Shavuot, we look at that all on our bodies, the physical toll it takes, and we say, Ashrecha v'tovla. How lucky we are. It's worth it. We're happy to have these commitments. We're happy that we live something greater. And the Ratzaka Kohen says as follows, looking at source number 10, Hayusha Torah v'amitzvot av shenikra ol. Even though the Torah and mitzvot, even that they're referred to as a yoke, of Alhem Samchim Lev Adam, they gladden the human heart. Lachain Batzer choose man Kabbalat Torah v'tol mitzvot, and therefore on Shavuot, which is the time for accepting the yoke of Torah and the yoke of mitzvot, mitzvah la'ane gam haguf. It's a commandment to give the body pleasure. To ikra ol nikr al haguf, because the yoke is recognizable on the body. Everybody knows the soul wants to do God's will. That we are on Shavuot, we're happy on the toll it takes in our bodies. We're happy, we embrace it. Yes, it's not so easy, but it's worth it. And specifically then, we enjoy ourselves by having a wonderful meal. And it says something wild. You can't make this up. He says, you know where we most appropriately show that Judaism is inconvenient sometimes, that Torah is hard, and we celebrate it anyway? The second day of Yom Tov. Who doesn't want, everybody always asks, why are the rabbis finally going to get rid of the second day of Yom Tov already, right? You know, it's so long already, isn't one enough? We have a fixed calendar. And the pre-tzaddik says, he quotes a medrash, which says, you're right, the second day of Yom Tov is difficult, but we celebrate it anyway. We celebrate the second day of Yom Tov because we celebrate everything that Hashem gives us, even the yoke, even the difficulty. That's part of the simcha of the day, that if you have the right perspective, if you can embrace the effort and the toil and the commitment and the focus and the passion for something greater, then you can incorporate the lachem, the for you, the enjoyable parts of the physical world God has given to us. So in closing, back to sort of our question, we don't have the normal Shavuot, but we might sometimes enjoy all of the accoutrements and the atmosphere of the wonderful, you know, environment of friends and coffee and cake and all that. I love that. And I miss it. But maybe this year is a time to focus on the greater aspect of Talmud Torah, on the putting in the effort, putting in the time, and doing our best to try as hard as we can to get as much as we can out of it. And if we can do that, and hopefully we can honestly say next year, this is going to be great. It's going to be great because it's going to be a wonderful growth experience. I'll also enjoy myself at the same time because it's Chatzio L'Hashem, Chatzio L'Hashem. So thank you so much. Wishing you all a wonderful Yom Yerushalayim. Happy Mother's Day. And may we all soon be able to meet together to learn a Torah and enjoy Shavuot the way it was meant to be enjoyed. Thank you very much.
Oh, Shachar Bergman, thank you.
Yeshakar, thank you.